If you're a Duck fan, our guest needs really no introduction. He was part of really the first class who played under Rich Brooks. Not many bleed the many colors of this program like this guy. Always look forward to talking with Steve Greatwood. Coach, thanks for the time. How you doing?
How's it going, Coach?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
All right. So I mentioned when you played, you began your coaching career here in 82 and obviously took part in recruiting. But beyond how much more coverage there is when it comes to letter of intent signing day, if I asked you about access, when you think back then, the kind of homes you'd get into as opposed to, you know, the last, I guess, dozen years or so, when you see a recruit, do you feel that there are any limits to the type of player you can pursue now?
No, I feel like we have a legitimate chance to get our foot in any kid's door, any young man's door. And, you know, after that, obviously, you know, we have some challenges just depending on the distance that we have to, you know, to recruit the young man from and things like that. But, no, I definitely believe that we can garner interest and get our foot in the door with any kid in the country.
Seems like just 7 or 6 years ago, you had to ask DVDs to be shipped out to your coach's offices and pop them in and then mail them back to review film. Now you can just go on to Huddle and scout guys and see whole games and highlight tapes. How much has the technology helped you, not necessarily just you personally, but the entire staff be able to see more kids without really flying there or having mail sent back and forth?
Oh, I mean, it's amazing now. I mean, I've already just, you know, in fact, I spent the majority of today just looking at 2017 kids. I probably already got 40 or 50 2017 kids evaluated.
You get a vacation, right?
yeah, but I can always take my iPad with me and look at them, you know. So the ease of with, you know, information is transmitted now as opposed to the days when I first started coaching and you'd have to, you know, either sit in a high school coach's office and watch, you know, Super 8 or 16 millimeter film on a kid and, you know, beg, borrow, or steal to be able to take that back with you for the staff to look at. I mean, those days are long gone. You know, I think, you know, what you have to be careful of now is, you know, kids have these highlight films on and you can make pretty much anybody, you could make me look good on a highlight film right now. So, you know, you got to be careful of not to make, you know, base too much of your judgments on a highlight film. You can definitely get an idea, but you got to make sure you do your homework and go back and look at the full game film and see how, you know, how hard a kid plays down in and down out. And then obviously there's nothing like either, you know, having that kid in your camp or going down watching practice or play in person too.
Now, Coach, obviously these last couple days is about this class, but the fact remains, you know, 22 guys from last year's group, you know, really Ugo Amadi, Taj Griffin, Merritt, very few others who actually got on the field during the season. So how important is it for fans, media, to maybe remember you guys were pretty stoked about the class of 2015 and were excited to see them now start to make their contribution moving forward?
Yeah, I think people are going to start seeing much more of some of these, particularly these young linemen, these kids up front, you know, defensively, guys like Drayton Carlberg, Gus Cumberlander, you know, some really good athletes, you know, over on the defensive side of the ball. I believe those kids are going to be in to make their mark and be noticed in our program. Obviously, I'm very, very happy with the group of offensive linemen that I brought in last year. Looking forward to getting out with those kids this spring and letting them go. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be some new faces that our fans are going to become familiar with, I think, in very short order.
How tempting was it at some point early in the year, middle of the year, when Jake Hansen started to kind of move up the depth chart a little bit and impress you guys to debate the fact that, hey, maybe we should play him or maybe we need to redshirt him like you ended up doing?
Yeah, you know, well, we were just one injury away from that happening, you know, with Matt Haggerty. And it gets to be a point in time that, you know, you have to really weigh that. You know, for instance, when Matt did get hurt in the first quarter of the bowl game, you know, now are you going to blow a kid's year for three right. quarters of football? And obviously, you know, that was not going to be the case. But, you know, had that happened with any, you know, bulk of our season left to go, Jake would have been pressed into service, and I think he would have handled it very well.
Talking with Steve Greatwood, talking Duck football. I mentioned last year's class of 2015, and, you know, in a league like this, it's difficult to get on the field as a true freshman. So a guy like Shane Lemieux, who was a huge recruit, I think he was ranked first at his position in the state of Washington. What kind of progress did he make as a redshirt, and what do you think his role might be when his time comes?
Well, I think he made some great strides as a, you know, coming in. Just first of all, just getting some technique things ironed out. You know, Shane came from a run dominated offense, and you know, so pass protection was probably his greatest liability. He's got great movement skills, and he's very, very flexible, so he can do it. But just getting the footwork down and the patience. I mean, Shane's one of those kids that, you know, he wants to, you know, go attack everything. You know, he's pass protection is not a natural. It's not natural for anybody, but you know, for him, because he's such an aggressive kid. You know, he wants to go out there, and you know, he just has to learn that, hey, you know, you can't jump the first move by a defensive lineman every time. So I saw some real strides in him, as I did with all the kids this year. But you know, I mean, I'm excited for kids like Shane. I mean, he's got a legitimate chance to find a starting position. You know, as does a kid like Calvin Throckmorton. You know, like I said, we already talked about Jake Hansen. So, you know, Brady Aiello, who's another kid that's going to be competing for a starting spot. So, I mean, I think we're going to have more competition in the offensive line this year. These older guys are going to have to really come in and work their tails off to hold off these younger kids.
I think you've got one of the hardest positions to recruit for, because it seems like the offensive line, a guy could be totally different body-wise in 3 or 4 years from when he's 18 to 22. What are you looking for when you go and watch these title tapes and the three guys you signed this year? What was the things that stood out? What are the qualities that you like in your offensive linemen?
Well, you're right, Matt, and it is difficult, because you are really projecting these kids. You know, what are they going to be like when they're 20 as opposed to 16? You know, and there is a tremendous amount of growth potential. Sometimes you find kids that are already, you know, very well developed, and kind of what you see is what you're going to get. And then on the other hand, you know, you find kids that have the frame but maybe have been doing a lot of other sports, you know, haven't been in the weight room, haven't maybe been in quite as structured a program, and they're not as physically developed as some of these other kids. So I guess, first of all, I always just look, is the kid an athlete? You know, can he run? I like it when they play other sports. And if I was going to choose between a kid that was maybe a little bit more marginal athletically, and yet was, you know, had a lot of weight and strength packed on him, as opposed to a kid that was maybe a raw boned kind of lean kid that had the frame to put on the, you know, 20, 30, 40 pounds over the course of a couple years, I would go with the latter in my decision making. But, you know, athleticism and competitiveness are the two main things that I like to see in recruiting kids.
Has the technology and the heavier emphasis on nutrition helped you guys as a staff overcome those projection issues?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, a kid's frame has a lot to do with it. You know, when you look at a kid and you meet him for the first time, you know, does he have those big, broad shoulders? Does he have the big wrists, the big hands? You know, is he a big jointed kid? And, you know, you can kind of tell. I get a sense for just how much growth potential a kid has when you first meet him. You know, like I said, we're trying to, you know, the hard part is we're going out and seeing these kids in their junior years when they're, you know, 16, 17 years old, and you know, you're being forced now to make these decisions on whether to offer a kid, you know, if you don't do it by the end of the, you know, their junior year, if you're not in the boat with them, then, you know, with the heavily recruited kids, you're really not going to have a chance. So you're really trying to make some decisions, and sometimes I'm not comfortable doing that. And if I'm not comfortable, I just won't do it. But, you know, you're trying to project, all right, what is this kid going to be like, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road after he's been in our weight room, after he's, you know, been in our program, and does he have that potential?
Steve, when the spread and the up-tempo was implemented here in 2007, it was kind of almost a novelty. It was kind of unique. We knew that Rich Rodriguez was running it, I guess, at West Virginia and a handful of other coaches. So as you went out there to recruit, you know, you kind of had to alter your approach. But now, incredibly, here we are 8-9 years later. Are you finding the kind of that pool is expanded and there are many, many more high school players who are now much more familiar with that style?
Yeah, no question. You know, our style of play has really taken root, you know, pretty much all across the country. And you can find kids that are used to playing in tempo offenses, that are used to playing in no tight end type of offenses, whatnot. But to me, it really doesn't matter what style of high school offense a young man comes from. You know, we're going to spend time training that kid to the proper techniques and, you know, getting him to understand the type of conditioning and the type of strength levels he's going to need to have to be successful here. So, you know, I really don't. It's not like I go out and search out kids that are specifically from spread offenses. I mean, they could be in a wishbone. I don't really care if they have the characteristics that I'm looking for.
Are you starting to see the NFL open up more to the types of offensive linemen that come from spread offenses in colleges?
Well, yeah, and we, you know, we got hammered for a long time that, you know, we'll never put a lineman in the NFL because of the type of offense we've run. And I think we've dispelled that over the last several years that, yes, you can come to the University of Oregon and play in this style of offense and be successful at the next level. So that was used by our competitors quite a bit in recruiting. You know, like I said, I think we've weathered that storm. And you know, so many schools are doing what we do right now, maybe not exact, but you know, some of these schools are running the spread that, you know, the NFL really doesn't have any choice, you know. So it is what it is, and I don't see a big difference. I mean, I teach inside zone and power the same way I taught it when I was coaching for the Rams back in the late 90s. So, you know, the techniques aren't any different.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, the NFL guys, Unger and Fisher and Johnstone, and these guys have gotten drafted and become really good players. And I'm always curious about the process as far as when draft time rolls around, be it the combine. I would imagine you're hearing a little more frequently from NFL folks. I mean, do they get a hold of, you know, the head coach, the coordinator, the position coach? What's your role in all that?
Well, it really kind of depends on the team and the organization. You know, with some kids and or some organizations, I hear a bunch from. And then, you know, and I kind of have a feel for who's going to, you know, who's at least looking to draft a kid. Like last year with Jake Fisher, you know, the Bengals, I talked to a ton. I talked a ton with, you know, their offensive line coach, Paul Alexander. He came out, spent a day out here. We visited, we talked, he watched Jake work out, you know, and I felt, you know, I had a great feeling that, you know, that he was very interested in Jake. Conversely, with Hronus and the Bears, never heard a word, you know, from the Bears. So, you know, you don't know. You just don't know. It just really depends on the organization.
One of your next guys trying to get into the NFL is Matt Hagerty. And as we made a ton of attention about Vernon Adams coming to Oregon and you know, having to learn the offense real quickly and running the show. But, you know, if the guy's snapping the ball doesn't know the deal either, you know, he can't do what he did. How do you think Hagerty did this season, and what was the, you know, the difficulties that he was able to overcome as a center playing in a new offense for the first time?
Well, I think, first of all, I think Matt did an incredible job for us. And the biggest issue I had was, how was Matt going to fit into the culture of our program, and more importantly, you know, into my room, so to speak, into my group of guys, because it's a very close-knit group. And, you know, here comes a guy that's trying to take one of their jobs away from them. And to Matt's credit, and I think to the credit of the group of kids that I coach also, that was seamless. You know, if Matt would have been a different type of personality, it might not have gone so well, but he he assimilated himself unbelievably, and really, over the course of the season, ended up being one of the better leaders on our football team, not just in the offensive line, but across the board. So, my hat's off to him. He deserves all the credit in the world for being able to take what could have been a really awkward situation, a tough situation, and make it into a plus. And then, when you have a kid that's been in a program like Notre Dame or any really four-year program, there's a core understanding of how things work. And like I said earlier, the schemes we use aren't any different than what a conventional pro-style attack is using, in our basic schematics of plays. We dress things up a little bit differently, and instead of having a tight end or a fullback, blocking somebody, that guy belongs to the quarterback. But as far as what my five guys are doing, it's not a heck of a lot different than what anybody that would run a conventional two-back, tight end, pro-style thing does. So Matt had a really good understanding of just the concepts of schemes. And from there, it was just a matter of him sort of relearning the language.
All right, Coach, if my math is correct, I think summer practice started 6 months ago Monday. So I'm going to wish you time to relax, decompress, take a deep breath, and we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Put the iPad down for a second, too.
Yeah, okay, guys. No problem. I appreciate you calling.
All right, take it easy.